Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Gusto. Gusto is a modern solution platform for modern HR problems. Whether you are working with talent management, payroll, onboarding tools, Gusto's HR platform has it all. They make it super, super easy. They make it really, really, really easy to be smarter than your competitors. And the really cool thing is you can actually try 3 months free with a subscription through Startup Hustle. You can sign up at gusto.com/startup hustle to get started. That's gusto.com/startup hustle. So today, We have a rare individual of genius that we're going to be talking to. And I do have to tell you something interesting that I learned in the course of doing background on this particular guest. In some areas of the world, some parts of the world, if you have two doctorates, you actually refer to yourself as Dr. Doctor. So we have a Dr. Doctor here with us today, which I find hilarious and lovely and wonderful. But we are joined today by Dr. Rainer Zeitelman, and he is the author of How People Become Famous, Geniuses of Self-Marketing, from Albert Einstein to Kim Kardashian. And that is a really exciting concept to me, because I think we all are aware that in this world of social media, in this world of things that move so fast, people who are able to market themselves well are see really great success. And so we're going to be talking to Dr. Doctor about the secrets and about these individuals who have achieved stratospheric success, how they did so, what that looks like, and what that means for you as an entrepreneur. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to hop right into it. And the first thing I want to learn a little bit more about you. And I'm going to ask you, you are a prolific author. You are a historian. You are an entrepreneur. There are so many different facets to your journey. And I want to hear a little bit more about that. Tell us how you came to where you are today.
Yes, thank you. I started as an historian, and I studied history and political science, and then I wrote my first doctoral dissertation in history and was there an assistant professor for a couple of years at the Free University in Berlin, where I live right now. And then I was for a couple of years in a leading position of one of the leading German daily newspapers. But in 2000, I started a new thing. I was 43 years old then in 2000, and I founded my own company. I became an entrepreneur. So I quit my job, founded my own company. It was a public relations company focused on the real estate industry. So our clients were brokers and REITs and listed companies, project developers, and we became number one in this niche. So the leading PR agency in Germany for the real estate industry, and I owned a lot of money at this time. I invested it in the real estate market. It was a very good time, so in Berlin to invest, especially in residential. But then 6 years ago, I sold my company. I wrote my second doctoral dissertation, and this time about a different topic in sociology. It was about the psychology of super rich people. And I conducted interviews with 45 people who had a net worth, most of them between 30 million euros and 1 billion euros. And I spoke with every one of them between 1 and 2 hours. In the end, I had 1,700 pages transcriptions with these interviews. And this was the basis of my second doctoral dissertation. And now I'm not retired. I sold my company, but I don't have to work for money because I earned enough this time. And what I'm doing now, I'm writing books. Now my book number 26 will be published in 2 months. And they are published in a lot of countries. For my new book, I have the goal this year to make contracts with about translation into 20 languages. This is my purpose for this year. So, and so now almost every day I speak with people from everywhere in the world, in Russia, in Greece, in Poland, in Spain, in Italy, in Vietnam, in Korea or in China. So this is what I love to do, to write these books, to have them translated in other languages. And then I travel a lot when it is possible again, because, of course, the last 2 years was not possible because of COVID-19. But hopefully the situation will be better now, and then I will start traveling again, speaking about my book. So this is what I'm doing today.
Well, I certainly hope that you, when you get back to traveling, that you make a stop here in Kansas City, because I would love to pick your brain. You have such a diverse wealth of knowledge locked away in that head of yours. And so I want to ask you, you took a little bit of an unconventional path, I would say. You started out in academia. And then became an entrepreneur. And I always find it really interesting when academics become entrepreneurs, because I feel like they are very different as far as culture. You know, when I think of academia, I don't necessarily think of fast pace and innovation. And that's not a knock. But when I think of entrepreneurship, I think of that highly innovative mindset that an entrepreneur must have. And so I have to ask you, what was it like to go from such a different vertical?
You are absolutely right. There is a huge difference between academics on the one hand and entrepreneurs on the other hand. For example, entrepreneurs, they follow more their intuition, their gut feeling. And academics, they are more with analysis and so science.
Research
analysis,
and structure and all of that.
This is their job, and not so much with intuition. But they have something in common always. If they are successful, they are creative people, and they are free what to do all over the day. There's, you know, if you are a professor at a university, okay, you have some obligations, but you are much more free than most employees in a company. So they have something in common, but of course there are differences. And for me, it was not such a big issue, because I was always a kind of outsider. I was always someone kind of non-conformist. And so it was for me not such a big change, especially it was not so complicated on political issues, because in the academics, you know, I think it's the same in the United States as it is in Europe. Most people are more left-leaning, and entrepreneurships are more, they're more pro-capitalist and not so much left-leaning. But my own opinion is also more pro-capitalism, and so this change from the academics to entrepreneurship was a very interesting experience for me, but it was a good experience.
Well, and clearly you made the transition very, very well, you know, very successful in all of the paths that you have tried, because really you've tried many. You're a man of many different talents and hats. So let me ask you this. I think one of the things that you just said was very, very interesting and very insightful, that there is some commonality between the academic side and the entrepreneurial side. And so my question to you is talk to us a little bit more about that, because here around Startup Hustle, we talk often about the entrepreneurial mindset, you know, that creativity, that resourcefulness, that ability to pivot. So clearly you made that transition very successfully, because you are a man of many hats and many talents, and you have succeeded in every endeavor and every area that you have tried from what you're telling us and what we've seen. But you said something really, really interesting, and you were talking about the creativity piece of like academics must be creative, entrepreneurs must be creative. So there's a commonality there. And I'm wondering if you can talk to us about that mindset commonality, because I do think that one of the things that we talk about a lot around Startup Hustle is you don't necessarily have to be an entrepreneur to be entrepreneurial, right? And so talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yes, I think what is very important if you want to be really successful, whether it is as an investor, as an entrepreneur, or in the academic field, it's a good idea to be a nonconformist, to do things different than other people. I think it's very clear with entrepreneurship or with investments. If you do the same thing as everyone else, you can't become super rich, for example, as the people I did this interviews. So you have to do things in a different way. You have to act different, and to act different, you have to think different. Even you have to enjoy it to swim against the stream sometimes. And sure. This is also true for scientists or for academics who are really good in their field. So we talk today about this. About my book, The Genius of Self-Marketing. And for example, Albert Einstein, he's a perfect example. He was always, all over his life, someone, a nonconformist in everything that he did. And I think this was also a precondition for his success in science. And so I think this is something, in spite of the fact that academics and entrepreneurs are very different in a way, but this is something that the real successful people in both of these fields have in common: to be a nonconformist, not to do the same thing as everyone else.
Sure.
And have fun in thinking different, out of the box thinking.
Yeah. Well, and that's just such a nice segue to the meat of our discussion, I think. And so I'm going to ask you, you know, you write, you've written about super rich people. You've written about most recently how people become famous, that kind of influencer attitude. And so when you look at, like, not everybody can be Albert Einstein, right? But there are definitely pieces of Albert's journey, or, you know, some of the other folks that we've talked about, you know, Steve Jobs, Kim Kardashian, these people who have become really good at selling themselves in order to sell a product or sell, you know, something, whatever it is they're doing. What are some of the things that you see these people do time and time again to achieve success in that?
Yes, it's absolutely correct what you mentioned. And I'm not just talking about becoming famous in a narrow sense. I'm talking about turning yourself into a brand. And I think the most important precondition is to first realize whether you have internalized harmful beliefs in your subconscious mind. I will give you some examples. Beliefs that prevent you from becoming famous, or let's first define what I mean with famous. Famous doesn't mean necessarily that you are as famous as Arnold Schwarzenegger or Stephen Hawking or Madonna or Steve Jobs. It's not necessary for most people. If you have a small company or mid-sized company, for example, in Kansas, then only people in Kansas have to know you. It makes no sense if people in Berlin or in Paris or in St. Petersburg know you, if your business is only in Kansas. But people in Kansas, of course, especially your potential customers or clients should know you. They should know about your products or about your service. And so I think this is important to make clear what I mean with becoming famous. I took, of course, as an example, people who were really famous all over the world. But you can learn from them and from their experience, even if it is not your goal to be famous as Madonna, for example.
Yeah.
And so I speak about to turn yourself into a brand. And the problem is that a lot of people learned in their childhood or in their youth things like don't blow your own trumpet, or modesty is a virtue, or don't be a show off. And I think as long as you have such beliefs in your subconscious mind, you will never become famous. And you, because you have to understand, becoming famous is not an accident, never. It doesn't just happen. You have to do something for it. And I analyzed in my book what the people did to become famous and to prove the fact that it is no accident that they become famous.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely feel like it's a very, it has the potential to be a very calculated thing. And I would guess that if you do not establish your own brand and establish it early and establish it consistently, someone else will establish it for you. They'll talk about you. But I think that, you know, for the purposes of the entrepreneurs listening at home, that branding piece, to your point, it's not necessarily that people want to go onto Instagram and have millions of followers. Like, that's not necessarily the point. For most of us, particularly as entrepreneurs, we want to build a brand so that we can be trusted within our space. You know, you want people to associate you with your product, what you're selling, what you're in, you know, whatever it is you're promoting. But if you are trusted, then by extension, your product is trusted, right? And so that could be a space from as small as, you know, selling homemade dog biscuits. But if people trust you, they're more likely and more willing to buy your dog biscuits, right?
I agree absolutely. And you used the key word in business. It's all about trust. It's all about trust. I read a biography about one of the richest men in history, Rockefeller. And he said he owned all his success in life because other people trusted him. And it's all about trust. For example, if you sell your product, or if you sell your service, your customers have to trust you. But even if you go to a bank and you want to get a loan, bankers have to trust you. And if you create business partnerships with other companies, your business partners have to trust you. And if you want to hire new employees for your company, people have to trust you. So it's all about trust. And I think if you turn yourself into a brand, it means to be authentic. A lot of people, they try to hide their rough edges. And right. I think we all have our rough edges. But if you want to turn yourself into a brand, you can't waste time worrying about rubbing other people the wrong way. And people who are addicted to harmony have a harder time to become famous and successful. This is what I show in my book, that geniuses of self-marketing, such as Madonna or Muhammad Ali, knew that it's not just about being better. It's all about being different from others.
Right.
Different. It's very important.
Well, in going to that, going a little bit more deeply into that trust piece, but also being different, I think that I want to clarify for the folks playing at home that when I'm talking trust, I don't mean that you would trust someone with your baby or trust someone with your life even. When I'm talking about trust, and I think when we're talking about trust, I think what we are meaning is I trust you to be consistent in who you are, that authenticity piece. So just as a for instance, you know, I don't think that anybody would trust Steve Jobs or Elon Musk, you know, people who have very, very strong personal brands. I don't think anybody would necessarily trust them to be a nice guy, but they would be trusted to be brilliant and inventive and to put out good products. So that trust piece isn't necessarily that warm, fuzzy trust that we associate with like our dear friends and family. It's you are trusting someone to consistently be who they are in order to put out a good product or create a good program or initiative, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's kind of my feeling on the subject.
That's absolutely. While you spoke, I thought about a very extreme example, one person I've as well in my book. And it's one person that's with a extreme polarization, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I think there's no one in the United States who either they love him or they hate him. But I think there are not so many people who say, okay, he has some positive things and some negative. I belong to this minority, if you want to know my opinion. I say there are some positive things and some things you can learn, but there are also some negative things. But even if you hate him or even if you are a fan, and even if you are on the opinion that he lies very often, and I think there are a lot of examples where he didn't tell the truth, but you always have the impression he is authentic in his way.
That you always know what to expect from him. Though he might do surprising things or say surprising things, it is never surprising that he is polarizing and controversial, because that is a part of his brand, right?
So yes, the people who admire him, they think that he speaks more the truth as other politicians do, in spite right. of the fact that if you make a fact check, you can often see it was not the truth that he said, but people believe or they have the feeling that he's authentic, that he doesn't use any, for example, politically correct phrases or something right. like this, but that he thinks he speaks the way he thinks. This is, of course, a very extreme example, but there are other examples in my book. And think about Steve Jobs. Of course, he was a difficult person. We know right. it from this biographies about him, that he was a very difficult person. But he fascinated people on the one hand.
Right.
On the other hand, he could be very, very difficult and hard with other people. But And sometimes even when he was in a meeting, he started to cry or the next time to shout or everything. But people believed always that this is authentic. And a lot of people, they shy away to show their own personality. But this is a sign of weakness. And most people don't like weak people. Most people like strong people. And if someone has always only this polite phrases and speaks things that you want to hear. You don't trust him because you think, why he's not so authentic? Maybe he hides something. Maybe he has something to hide. And so I think one recommendation is that as an entrepreneur, as an owner of a small or mid-sized company, I think there are a lot of people in your audience, and this is what I did for a lot of years. It makes sense to be authentic, and it makes sense to connect your company with your person, even if you know that not everyone will like you. But this is always, you will find no speaker, or you will find no pop star, or no one who's liked by everyone. Look, another example, I have one chapter about Madonna. Of course, she has millions and millions of fans in the world, and she earned hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. But of course, she had always a lot of haters and a lot of people who criticized her because of her provocation. But this is to I think everyone who's on social media or on Instagram or Facebook knows this. In the moment when you get more fans, you get at the same time more haters. And if you can't live with this, then it's very hard to become famous. Or, sorry, for a last example, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
he polarized absolutely. People really hated him at this time. And for others, it was their hero. I think today, for most Americans, he's more a hero. But this was not all times. At this time in Vietnam War times, and so he polarized very, very extreme. And there were a lot of people who hated him. But in the end, they had the feeling, here's someone who stands his ground. Here's someone who's authentic. Here's someone who goes his own way.
Yeah. Well, so I love that, because what I'm hearing is that, you know, you said that if when people are inauthentic or not willing to share of themselves authentically, that's a weakness. And so by, like, the flip side of that coin is that it is actually strong to be vulnerable, to say what you really feel, be who you really are, even in the face of people who might not respond well to that. And so I love that. And I do think that strength is the underpinning of trust, you know, the kind of trust that we've been talking about. Now, I will say, you know, we're talking about trust here, and I don't know if you have heard of Gusto, but Gusto is actually one of the most trusted HR management platforms. Managing your team with Gusto can be as easy as 1, 2, 3. It is so, so simple. You don't have to stay up late nights processing your payroll. You don't have to have trouble with your business tax filings. There are no more painful spreadsheets for attendance tracking. I don't know about you, but for the longest time, I had so many spreadsheets just tracking all this stuff, and it was really difficult to manage. So with Gusto, you get a smart HR platform. We would definitely encourage you to check out gusto.com/startup hustle, because Startup Hustle listeners actually get a free 3-month subscription to try it out now. So definitely check out gusto.com/startup hustle. So getting right back into it, you know, we're talking about authenticity. We're talking about trust. I'm going to ask you, I have two questions, but the first is this. You mentioned something a little bit earlier that really resonated with me. So many people are told that by hyping themselves up or sharing their accomplishments or their wins, that can be seen as bragging. You said, don't toot your own trumpet. Here in the States, it's don't toot your own horn, but very similar. You know, but often we are societally ingrained to hide our accomplishments because it's seen as braggy or it's seen as hubris. And so I want to talk to you about getting comfortable. You know, for our entrepreneurs who are listening right now, if you are experiencing that imposter syndrome, if you are experiencing that fear of sharing what makes you, What would you tell them, Doctor? What would you tell them about, you know, getting comfortable with that? Because I feel like that's the first step.
Absolutely, yes. It's not about playing any role that you don't want to play. But on the other hand, I think anyway, it's necessary sometimes that you start to experiment a little bit. I think the most important formula for success is the combination of stamina on the one hand and the willingness to experiment on the other hand. If you have stamina, of course, this is important for entrepreneurs and it's often mentioned, but this is only one thing. You have to experiment, you have to try new things. And if you do always the things in the same way as you have done it before, because of course you feel most comfortable when you do the things in the same way you did before, then you can't expect any other results. This is also a quote from Albert Einstein. He said, if you do always the things in the same way and you expect different results, it's insane. It's really crazy.
I've heard that quote for sure.
Yes. And so I think you should maybe think about it to start to experiment, to be open for new experience. This is, by the way, a result of psychological studies about entrepreneurs. They did personality tests or psychological tests with successful entrepreneurs and try to find out what's the difference between them and other people. And there is the so-called Big Five model, that it's big different personality traits. And one personality trait that is very important for entrepreneurs is openness for new experience. So, yeah. And one new experience could be if you heard often these things like don't be a show off or something like this, of course you will not feel comfortable in the first time but it's always if you do new things, in most cases you don't feel comfortable. I remember I had a training partner, she was my friend as well, and we were in the gym. And most we did the same exercises, but sometimes I told her, okay, let's do something new exercise. And I knew all the time she said, no, I don't like it. I think, let's do the other one that we always did. And I said, give it a time. It's not that you will like it the first time. Try it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. And then if you don't like it, okay, then it's it. This is, I think, in the moment when you start doing things different, in the moment when you start to experiment, it is absolutely natural that you feel sometimes not so comfortable with it.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things that I always tell Innovate Her KC members, I always tell them, own your awesome. Because I do think that, you know, I think that society imposes certain expectations around accomplishment. Like, it's okay to accomplish things, but it's not okay to talk about it. And I've always found that to be a bit unfair. Like, I feel like if you have the skills and the achievements to back it up, like, please, it's not arrogance. It's just realism when you're, you know, sharing that side of yourself with people. And so I always tell our members to own your awesome, but it's a struggle that I have as well. You know, I have often struggled to be the quote unquote face of my organization. And it's been that's been part of my leadership journey, getting more comfortable with that. Because again, I understand that there's a utility to Lauren represents Innovate Her KC. And so therefore, if we trust Lauren, we trust her organization. There's a huge confluence of benefit around me getting comfortable with being a face of an organization, even though it's against my instinct. So let's say that, you know, you're talking to somebody and they have gotten comfortable with that piece of the puzzle. They're like, okay, you know, I'm ready to create my personal brand, and I am ready to figure out what sides of me and what pieces of me I want to show up with consistently so that I can build that trust relationship with the people who are watching me, watching my company, watching, you know, whatever it is. What would you tell them?
You have to do a lot of things. For example, I think one thing is very important, especially if you are an entrepreneur, it's all about public relations. This is something that you can learn from the people that I mentioned in my book, as Muhammad Ali or Andy Warhol or Stephen Hawking. They devoted a great deal of time and energy to press and public relations work to build their brand. They gave countless interviews and they knew exactly how the media worked and which stories journalists were most interested in. And they delivered those stories all the time. And I think public relation is so important. Look, for example, at Arnold Schwarzenegger. Everyone in the world knows him. You know, I travel a lot and even when I was in China in the cities and I spoke about Arnold Schwarzenegger, almost everyone heard his name and knew how he looks with his bicep and so. But how did he? Only with public relation. And if you read his autobiography, Total Recall, I can recommend it to everyone to read this autobiography. It's amazing because all his success in life was in the end about with public relation. He became one of the most popular bodybuilder in the world. Some people think he's the guy who has the most muscles or the best bicep. Of course, he has a lot of muscles, but there are other bodybuilders today who have much more muscles as Arnold Schwarzenegger had. But you don't know her name. You never heard him, only if you are maybe a bodybuilding expert. But you don't know. But you know his name, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And you know, then he became 2 times governor of California.
It was he was able to take that, to use that, I guess, social capital that he had built through being a bodybuilder to parlay that into an acting career and then turn that into a governorship.
He was excellent
at leveraging social capital, which I think is kind of what this is about. Would you agree? Am I right? I don't know.
But the people said when he started in movies in Hollywood, they told him it's a crazy idea. Look at your body. No one wants to see a body as you have. This was maybe in the 50s or in the 60s with Hercules movies. But today we like people like Dustin Hoffman or so, not people looking like you. And then look, your strange accent. You have this strange Austrian accent.
Right.
People will not like it. And then your name. No one can, Arnold Schwarzenegger, no one can pronounce your name. And the next thing, have you heard that ever someone from Europe was so successful in Hollywood? And there were a lot of reasons against it. But he understood it to turn the alleged the deficits or liabilities into real assets. For example, his body was an asset then and not a liability. Or even his accent. He said, okay, everyone will know when I'm talking, even if they hear, oh, that's this guy with a strange accent. So and another thing, we spoke about provocation, and I think this was also something that he did very often. He said sometimes outraged things only to attract awareness. For example, he had an interview in TV, and then they asked him, how is it about pumping a muscle, and what is this feeling for you? And he said to them, it's like coming, so like orgasm, like having sex with a woman. And of course, something is that crazy. He speaks here about orgasm, these things. But of course, these were the things in a kind of provocation. And even he did it in his private life. For example, yeah. There was one funny story when he first met the mother of his later wife, you know, who was a part of the Kennedy clan, one of the most famous families in the United States. And yeah. Then he said to the mother of his girlfriend, it was one of the first things he said to her, "Look, I think she has really a great butt." So, but could you imagine this? So,
yeah.
I think this is a little bit crazy. And Madonna did as well these crazy things. And Andy Warhol did things much more crazy. And Muhammad Ali did this. And Albert Einstein did this. And so I think, these people also had fun to do these things, because usually there are so many restrictions from society. People tell you, you should do this and that and avoid this, and you have to act this and this way. But these people want to be free. They really want to be free. And to be free means to act sometimes in a way, maybe to surprise people, or even, of course, you shouldn't exaggerate it. And this is another very important lesson in my book. If you do some steps too far with this provocation, then you have to go back. This was, for example, Madonna is a genius in these things. Sometimes she was so extreme with her provocation, you know, about sex and religion and to combine all these things.
Sure.
And she got a lot of problems. But then, she understood, now this was one, two, or three steps too far in this direction. Now I have to go back. Now I have to do something more mainstream. Like then she did maybe another, what she called a girly show, or something what is more harmless. So, and with Muhammad Ali, it was the same. On the one hand, he was very provocative and extreme. But then later in his life, he understood, sometimes to step back or every... So you have to find the
sweet spot. It sounds like there's definitely a give and take. You definitely want to get noticed, do something that is enough outside the norm, or enough that is like intrinsically you, that it carries through, gets noticed. But you also don't want, and I feel like maybe, when Madonna, she was doing like these really, really crazy, shocking things that really, really offended people, and she decided that she had to dial it back. I think that a piece of that decision had to be the fact that, maybe what I'm doing is distracting from my message, from my music, from this image that I've created. And so I feel like, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, or kind of help me think through this, but you want to be noticed, but not distract from the core message.
Absolutely, and you have to feel it. With more people, it's the other way. If they provoke, and then they maybe then there's a discussion, and there are and then they do more and more of this, because they become unsure. And it's normal if people criticize you, and then you fight back, and so, and it becomes more and more, and in the end you are outsider, or someone people laugh at, or so. And so it's important that provocation on the one hand, and to be authentic on the one hand, it's very important. But on the other hand, you should always have the ability, or maybe you should have people in France and so who tell you to be honest, this was too much. Go step back. So.
Like, Madonna, babe, you talked about sex and religion a lot and it pissed off the Pope. Maybe go do some volunteer work or something like that. Like, you've got to dial it back. Okay. Well, so I love that. And I do find this so fascinating. I think that the note that I kind of want to end on is so in a conversation before we hit the record button here, we were talking about Albert Einstein, and we were talking about his hair. And so when you think in your head, or at least when I think in my head of the image of an academic, I always think of that person who is so tied up in their brilliant thoughts that they are too distracted to worry about things like tying their shoes or brushing their hair or, you know, buttoning their buttons right, because they just have so much brilliance popping around in their head that it's just impossible to worry about the minutiae of everyday life. And so Albert Einstein, who we all know was a genius, his hair was calculated. And I found that fascinating. It was a very calculated decision that he made. I'm going to have crazy hair, because when people think of brilliance, they don't think of a guy who can brush his hair. I don't have time to brush my hair. I'm too smart. I'm thinking of too many big things and concepts and ideas, right?
Yes, absolutely. They make people think that they don't care about it, but it's absolutely wrong. And, yeah. And this is something you mentioned. It's important when you want to turn yourself into a brand. It can help. Outward appearance do matter. Think about every brand has a trademark. Think of Coca-Cola. Think of McDonald's. Think of Apple. Or think of Mercedes-Benz, for example. And if you want to turn yourself into a brand, you need to make sure you are instantly recognizable and distinctive.
Yeah.
And not only Albert Einstein, but Donald Trump or Karl Lagerfeld, they couldn't be more different, but all of them turned their hair into their trademark. Yes, Trump's shiny gold hair, or Einstein, yes, you mentioned it. It's his unkempt white hair sticking all in all directions, or Lagerfeld's powdered braid become their trademarks, like Schwarzenegger's biceps, and Kim Kardashian, she made her butt to trade.
You know, that girl puts a lot of energy into what her butt looks like, and that is no accident.
Yes, and so you see, sometimes, and this is what people should think about, you can learn from marketing for products. And if you see yourself in a way as a product, then you can learn something from the laws of marketing. And to have a trademark is not a mistake, that because it will help that people remind you.
Yeah. Well, I am going to share a little bit of my personal journey here, but you know, I represent an organization that champions inclusion and low barrier to entry. And sometimes money and buying fancy clothes, like, that's a barrier. And so I deliberately wear casual clothes when I'm out and about, because it makes me more accessible. It makes me better able to talk to my members and the individuals that I serve. It's a conscious choice that I make. You know, in I don't know if this is the same in Germany, but here in the States, we have this concept of startup suave, quote unquote, where, you know, startup people, we tend to dress casually. And then when we get dressed up, you wear a graphic t-shirt, jeans, tennis shoes, but you throw a blazer over it. And like, that's the aesthetic.
Like Mark Zuckerberg did, or Steve Jobs, I think they were the first
one. And it's very much the aesthetic.
Yes, in Silicon Valley, they did it not with suits or with tie, but
Steve Jobs had his black turtleneck. Like, he wore that thing every day. So I think that the takeaway here, if I'm hearing all of this correctly, the takeaway here is, you know, you're going to have to determine what works for you with your personal brand, how you can be authentic, share of yourself, but then also be cognizant of it. You know, you can craft an image around who you already are, but the point is, figure out how you're going to craft your image. Is that right?
Absolutely. And most important thing, read my book, because you
definitely.
Yes.
And I mean, when are you going to get to read a book by a doctor, a double doctor? Actually, that's what I'm going to call you now.
not to copy all these people. This is not a good idea if you copy it. But of course, you can learn from them. You can get some ideas. Now, okay, he did it this way. Maybe I try this. This is what I mentioned before. It's so important to experiment. But to experiment, you need some ideas, and you can get the ideas from people who are good on their field. And and this was the reason why I have so many very, very different people. You know, the subtitle of the book is Genius of Self-Marketing from Albert Einstein to Kim Kardashian. And a lot of people thought, it's crazy. How can you mention both in one sentence? They are so different. Of course, I know this. But this was no accident, but it was purpose, because I want to shock a little bit people and make them think they are different, but they have one thing in common. And I look always, if you want to learn in a field, you should always look for the people who are most successful. If you want to be a billionaire, you don't look how someone who's out of work or is in social welfare and look how he behaves, but you would look for people who made a lot of money, self-made people. And if you want to be famous, you will look to people who became famous. And so I think not to copy them, I have to repeat it, but to get some ideas and start to think about yourself, your behavior, and to try some of these things.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I think, folks, one of the most impactful things you can do for your brand and your image is to go out, find How People Become Famous, Geniuses of Self-Marketing from Albert Einstein to Kim Kardashian. Definitely check it out. You can go to rainer-zitelmann.com. And so I have one really quick question. This is a really quick question because we're actually running over time, but this was a fascinating conversation. What is your personal brand?
My personal brand, yes, this is I have a lot of things. First, with the outer experience, for appearance, people don't see me now, yes, but I think I look different than other people who are now. I soon will become 65 years old, and I look different. For example, here with my, you can see it, you can tell people.
I will back up. There's a baseball right there on the bicep.
Yeah, that's really here, the bicep. And you mentioned this two PhDs. It's a little bit fun. Some people say, it's crazy. Why he says always doctor, but it's a little bit fun. And I think this is also important, a little bit a kind of irony. And sometimes this is a part of my trademark as well. When I speak to students or when I was invited to a TV show and there were a lot of anti-capitalists, I came with I have a T-shirt and the T-shirt is I love capitalists. And people recognize, this is the guy with this I love
it's the
capitalism
guy.
With his heart. And they recognize me. And they accept me, even if they don't think my way. But they say, okay, he's someone who, you know, there are some people who are pro-capitalist and say, I know maybe capitalism is not the best. And
you stand by your ideals. You don't
go back and forth.
You're not wishy-washy. And people respect that, for sure.
They respect this. And I tell you something in the end. This is even the secret to be... To get attraction from girls or from women, because I know most girls and most women, they don't like it if they are someone who hides so much, only make always compliment and agree with everything, because they see it as a sign that you are weak. Yes, and most
you're pandering to them or condescending to them by not saying what you really think.
Yes, and absolutely. And this is a sign they think, it's someone who's weak, and maybe I can't trust him because he hides so many things. And this is also a secret. Be authentic. I, to tell you, all over my life, I had always very, you know, pretty girls. And people wondered, okay, today they say he has a lot of money. And so, okay, that's the reason. But even when I was a student and I had no money, I had the prettiest girl in town. I had no money, and I don't look so great that people think, oh, it's because he looks so handsome. No, it's only because of being authentic.
Your brand is fit, innovative, entrepreneurial, lady killer. That's what I'm going with. That's your brand. There you go. Folks, I can't, well, Doctor, I just want to say Doctor one more time because I find it really fun, and I'm probably not going to get to do it for a minute. But Doctor, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us here today on Startup Hustle. This is a really fun conversation.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I would definitely direct you to keep an eye out for How People Become Famous, Geniuses of Self-Marketing from Albert Einstein to Kim Kardashian. As you have heard, there are a lot of really good stories in there. Would also encourage you to check out Gusto. Now is certainly the time. Today's episode of Startup Hustle was sponsored by Gusto. And if you're looking for an all-in-one HR platform that just makes it so easy and convenient to manage your HR, definitely check it out. Everything you need, just a few clicks of a button. And for Startup Hustle listeners, you get 3 months free when you go to gusto.com/startuphustle. That is gusto.com/startuphustle. Friends, I also invite you to check out our YouTube channel. Startup Hustle TV is live and in action. And on it, myself and the other Startup Hustle hosts and some friends, we tell the real stories of entrepreneurship. We would love to have you take a look, hear our stories. I tend to cuss a lot, but don't judge. Entrepreneurship is hard. All right, folks, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to listen to us. And we will catch you on the flip side.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.